Our scripture text this week is in Luke chapter 10. Now, the lectionary says chapter 10, verses 1 through 11, and then you drop down to verses 16 through 20. I don't like to do that when I'm reading the scripture. I like to read the whole little part of the subchapter, which is when Jesus is sending out his disciples. So I'm going to read chapter 10, verses 1 through 20, New Living Translation. The Lord now chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and the villages that he planned to visit. These were his instructions to them, red letter edition all the way through till verse 20. The harvests are so great, but the workers are so few. Pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask him to send out more workers for his field. Go now and remember that I am sending you out as lambs among wolves. Don't take along any money or traveler's bag or even an extra pair of sandals, and don't stop to greet anyone on the road. Whenever you enter a home, give it your blessings. If those who live there are worthy, the blessings will stand. If they're not, the blessings will return to you. When you enter a town, don't move around from home to home. Stay in one place, eating and drinking what they provide you. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality, because those who work deserve their pay. If a town welcomes you, eat whatever is set before you and heal the sick. As you heal them, the kingdom of God is near you now. But if a town refuses to welcome you, go out into its streets and say, "We wipe the dust off of your town from our feet as a public announcement of your doom." And don't forget, the kingdom of God is near. The truth is, even wicked Solomon will be better off than such a town on Judgment Day. What horrors await you, Chorazin and Bethsaida? For if the miracles I did you had been done in the wicked Tyre and Sidon, their people would have sat deep in the repentance long ago, clothed in sackcloth and throwing ashes on their head to show their remorse. Yes, Tyre and Sidon would be better off the Judgment Day than you. And your people of Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? No! You will be brought down to the place of the dead. And then he said this to the disciples, "Anyone who accepts your message is also accepting me, and anyone who rejects you is rejecting me. And anyone who rejects me is rejecting God who sent me." When the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him, "Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name." "Yes," he told them, "I saw Satan falling from heaven as a flash of lightning. And I have given you authority over all the powers of the enemy. You can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you. But don't rejoice just because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered as citizens of heaven." May God add his blessings to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of his holy and precious word. Brush it off. Kick the dust off your feet. You know, even sometimes when we were kids, we'd fall down and get all dirty. Mom or dad or somebody there, an adult, would say, "Just brush the dirt off and keep on going." I think everybody has at one time or another been in a very vulnerable place, either physically, emotionally, or even spiritually. For many, it's not a comfortable place unless we are entirely familiar with someone, such as our partner, our spouse, or even our best friend. But even then, it's hard for us to open ourselves up and show our weakness, our flaws, or even our most intimate dreams. Think about it. How many of us would tell your deepest and darkest secrets to the person sitting next to you? How many of you would share the worst mistakes you ever made in your life with your neighbors or even the one who sat next to you in church? How many of you would bare your soul to your partner if it meant taking the risk that he or she might reject you due to what you revealed to them. Emotional vulnerability is especially difficult for us as human beings. Amen? Physical vulnerability, spiritual vulnerability can be just as challenging. When was the last time you were alone in an unfamiliar place, late in the evening, and that sense of fear deep within your stomach wells up in you because your trust alarm is going off? That's the Holy Spirit nudging you. Have you ever experienced the fear of someone who you thought you could trust but then suddenly threatens your sense of well-being or even safety? Have you ever experienced betrayal from someone in a religious institution whom you thought you could trust? Wow. These are all experiences that challenge our ability to open up and be vulnerable with others. The more experiences of betrayal that we encounter in our lives, the harder it is for us to reveal our tenderest and most inner parts to others. Instead, we put up walls and blocks and defenses that are designed to protect our vulnerable self from outside people and things that we believe could harm us. As we read that scripture today, Jesus is challenging his disciples on their ability to be vulnerable in the face of rejection, betrayal, and even danger. He is deliberately telling them that he is sending them out like lambs among wolves. Right there, that's frightening. It's a frightening statement for anyone, I would think. Would that make your hair stand on end? I think mine would. What it means is that they are to go from town to town, place to place, unarmed, without provisions, even without money or an extra set of clothing, and no extra pair of sandals, no luggage. Imagine going anywhere that way. We'd all feel a little sheepish, no pun intended. But how many of you are planners? You go on a trip and you make a list of what you need for the journey. You make sure you pack all your essential needs and then some. My wife always seems to have an extra suitcase whenever we go away. But you definitely want to have some money with you. And your greatest fear is to be stuck somewhere along the way, stranded without provision for food and for shelter. But that's not the direction the disciples were given by Jesus himself. They are told to take nothing with them, to plan nothing, to count on nothing, to take things entirely as they come. Well, discipleship, as I mentioned last week, is not an easy undertaking. The 12 are indeed like lambs, helpless, defenseless, and dependent among wolves, which is also unknown foreign Gentile people that they're going into areas where they've never been. We might even call, there's a whole bunch of loose cannons out there. They had no idea what to expect. And yet their job was to be vulnerable, to proclaim the gospel, to be kind in the face of rejection, never to fight, but to simply walk away if anyone threatens them, to deliver the message, the good news. If someone welcomed them, they could stay in their home. Scripture says they could eat food offered to them, and they could show gratitude, forge relationships, and teach as they do. But if they were rejected and no one would take them in or listen to them, they were not to couch or lash out or argue or insist, but they were simply to walk away, brush off the dust from their feet, and move on to the next stop. This is an important part of the message that Jesus has given us in Luke's gospel. The mission of the gospel is not an invasion or takeover. It's simply a message of kindness and respectfully offered to others, no matter how much the hospitality or the lack of there that the teachers or the gospel bringers would receive. This required disciples and apostles not just to be brave, but to be vulnerable, to share their most intimate stories, their most heartfelt experiences, and to offer a hand of friendship, if you would, to those who may scoff, reject, or even kick them to the curb. That is a hard thing to do. But Jesus said, you got to go. You got to do it. So they went. Not only must they be able to weather rejection, they must also be prepared to deal with feelings of failure. Not everyone would want to listen to them. Not everyone would invite them in. Not everyone would be kind, and not everyone would be friendly. Some of them were downright hostile. But here is what brushing the dust off becomes vitally important in our culture today, as we have similar name for what we call, let it roll off your back. You know, water off a duck's back. Let it roll off your back and keep on going. No matter what happens, no matter what somebody does to you, or whatever you run into that feels bad or distasteful, don't take it personally. Don't let it get your goat, so to speak. Just let it roll off your back. Don't take it personally is the key phrase here. Whenever something bothers us to a point that throws us off balance, activates our defenses, it means that we're allowing that word or deed to affect us emotionally and personally. We've taken it to heart, so to speak. Amen? So let's think about this for a moment. If someone insults you, how do you remain vulnerable and refrain from putting your defenses up like fighting a lobster while still letting it roll off your back? It's easy to let something roll off your back if you don't care about the issue, or you don't care about the people insulting you. In fact, if you don't care about anyone or anything, everything just rolls off your back, doesn't it? To a point of determent. But if you care about something or someone or an issue or a person, naturally becomes personal to us, and what happens in a relationship with them becomes personal to us and important to us. Here's the dilemma. How can you stay vulnerable as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ and care about the mission of the gospel and care about people, and yet their rejection roll off your back so that you can just brush the dust off of your feet? Wow. I think the secret is in who has your heart, your loyalty, and your stability. You see, if we're operating on our own devices, it's our well-being and self-esteem depends upon what others think of us, then we will always take everything personally. And if they reject us, we'll be devastated. I know how that feels. As an old-timey salesman, we feel that we have failed. But in our primary relationship and our attention, our self-esteem lies only with God through Jesus Christ our Lord, that no matter what or who we meet, we will have the strength to be kind in the face of rejection, calm in the face of dispute. Our stability will not depend on their assessment of us at all. Our stability will depend only upon God's assessment of us. I think here is what the disciples and where their strength lies. They may be going into the wild blue yonder as innocent lambs, but these are powerful, strong, secure lambs, blessed by the Lamb himself, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, powered by the grace and the love of the Holy Spirit of God. The feelings of self-esteem, success, mission, peace comes not from their success or their failure in the field, but with their relationship with the one true God of all people. So when God fills your heart with love, peace, and security, you can go out into the world in strength, and you don't need the security of plans. You don't need the security of a roadmap. You don't need the security of success. And you don't need the security of everyone liking you. You don't need the security of perfect harmony each day and every day. You don't even need the security of knowing that your efforts have been proved worthy. You simply need to know that you are a blessed child of God embarking on God's mission to love God's people. And when we do that, Jesus will take care of the rest. So today I challenge all of us to open our hearts. We had an advertising program in United Methodist Church at one time, and I was the district director for, you might remember, Open Hearts, Open Minds, and Open Doors, to allow God to remove the defenses that keep you at length from others. Instead, pray for the courage to go out into the world, free to love and to serve others. Even if they reject you and mock you, even if they ignore you or cast you aside, keep planting those seeds. You can always brush the dust off your feet, because their fate is in God's hands, not yours. And walk on, for the future is yours, and the kingdom of God and the glory of God forever is yours. Amen. Well, I hope and pray you're having a good day. We won't be bringing you these messages for the next 3 weeks, because Phil and Betty will be in Alaska on a cruise ship. Tough duty, right? Well, anyhow, we hope and pray that you've been blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.